I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the women who serve this country. We're going to talk about the upcoming Indiana Women's Veterans Conference. We're going to talk about ways we can better serve the women who have served our nation. My guests will be Conference Coordinator Najuma Austin, Matt Vincent, Indiana Veterans Affairs Program Coordinator, and Indiana Representative Carly Macer, a Democrat from Indianapolis. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits, WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the Hoosier Women Veterans Conference. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guests are Najuma Austin, who is the conference coordinator, State Representative Carly Macer, a Democrat from Indianapolis, and Matt Vincent, who is with the Indiana Veterans Affairs. He's the Indiana Veterans Affairs Program Coordinator. Welcome, all of you. I think you're all first-timers here at the show, right?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
it's good to have you all here. Let's talk a little bit about what this conference is and what it's supposed to do. And, Najuma, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Thank you, John, for having me. This conference is for all who's a woman veteran, and it's on Saturday, June the 21st. It'll be at the Fan Bure Building, and the address is 1202 East 38th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana 46205, and some of the benefits for the program is for women veterans to be aware of the resources that are available in Indiana. Some of the information that will be given out is federal and state benefits, coping with stress, crisis intervention, military sexual trauma, employment resources, suicide prevention, and homeless resources. This event starts at 8 o'clock, which is pre-registration, and ends at 3:30.
Now, is it set up? Are there a series of like programs or sessions during the day, or the information booths? I guess what I'm asking is, if you come at 8 and you're only interested in one of those topics, or really have questions, and you're a veteran and want to figure this stuff out, do you do that, or are you there for the whole session?
You can come in, and we have a series of topics, and our first topic will be Woman Veteran Help Program, and you can sit and listen to that. Or after, we have vendors that are there. Some of our vendors will be Women in Networking. We have Red Cross. We also have a mini help program to check your BMI, also cholesterol and blood pressure.
Okay. So it sounds like it's a mixture then of
right.
The two things, that you've got sessions, and then there's also kind of a walk-up information gathering opportunity. Matt, how important are conferences like this?
Well, this is very important, especially this day and age with more female veterans than there ever has been. And, with the drawdown of forces and, veterans coming back, it's important that we host events like this to provide the female veteran population with the resources that are available to them. And, even any veteran, they're not really always sure of what their resources are. So, getting together like this, all the different entities that are involved in providing the information it's very paramount to the veteran population.
Now, Representative Macer, you serve obviously on the Veterans
Affairs
Committee.
Yes, I do.
You're the ranking member.
I am.
How large a challenge is this in the state of Indiana? I mean, the fact that Matt has pointed out there's a drawdown, we're getting a lot of veterans coming back home now, attempting to reenter life here. What kind of pressure does that put on state government and state government's resources?
Well, just here in the state of Indiana, we have over 33,000 female veterans. And we realize that over the next, 20 years, we are really looking at a decrease in women veterans or in veterans in general, but not for women. I can tell you this year I worked on a bill that was passed and is now law to create a position for a women's coordinator for the state of Indiana. There had been a position there, more of a, not necessarily a sole position for that. It's overwhelming. These are gender-specific needs that a lot of women face, and it's a big problem that we're facing. But we're on the right track and moving in the right direction to be able to advocate and provide these resources for women veterans all over the state of Indiana. But I feel like we have a long way to go.
You mentioned gender-specific issues. What are some of them?
Gender-specific issues for women are things like breast cancer, ovarian cancer, childbirth, issues that women face.
And the military, traditionally, because even having women serve is a relatively historically new development, hasn't been well prepared to deal with.
You're right, John. Here in the state of Indiana, for women veterans, the care that you may receive in Evansville might be different than the care that's offered here in Indianapolis. And a lot of women, I think it's maybe 6% use the VA for services. And, a lot of times it is because of those needs that they have. The coordination of care is so important right now so that women in Evansville or Fort Wayne have the same care opportunities that you would in Indianapolis.
How does the care get differentiated from place to place like that? Is that at the state level or is it at the federal level?
I think it's
both.
it's a combination of both, certainly. But, what hospitals and what clinics offer vary, certainly throughout the state.
We are talking about issues affecting Hoosier women veterans in anticipation of the Hoosier Women Veterans Conference this Saturday. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, obviously, the care that veterans receive has been in the news an awful lot lately. Probably ought to emphasize, Matt, that before we start getting the calls, that's really not the state VA, right?
That's right, John. And I appreciate you pointing that out. People see Veterans Affairs as just one specific entity. The Indiana Department of Veteran Affairs, we focus on state benefits. Those include education for children of disabled veterans. We are on a huge employment initiative right now. And, we just focus on those smaller state-level issues. And, it's hard for us to speak on behalf of the, federal VA hospitals. And it's, we just want to make sure that everybody's aware that we are not the VA hospital.
Well, I'm going to ask, though, the basic question
in
this so that people understand. What are the differences between the state benefits and the federal benefits? I mean, what things does the state VA do that the federal government does not? Now, Matt or Representative Mace, either one of you.
Like I said, so when you think about the VA, you think about, disability and compensation benefits, pension, health care. What we could do at the Indiana Department of Veteran Affairs is we can navigate those federal benefits for you. We can get you to the right spot, whatever that may be. But right now, the state, we offer, like I said, the remission of fees for children of disabled veterans. We offer, Hoosier disabled veteran license plates. We have the Military Family Relief Fund for qualified service members. If they're struggling financially, we can offer them monetary assistance. And we also have a property tax deduction for disabled veterans. So, those are the type of things that we at the state level, that's what we offer. So, and like I said, you know, we can help any veteran that comes to our office, where they need to go, who they need to see, and, you know, how they need that assistance.
Najuma, is that going to be part of the conference as
yes,
well?
It is.
I mean, that sort of negotiating the system.
It is part of the conference. We want to be able to differentiate between our federal and our state's benefits. So when all veteran women come, at least they will get the knowledge and we know where to apply for all their benefits.
And it gets to Representative Macer, what is the biggest challenge confronting? Let's not make this gender specific just yet. We'll come back to that in a minute. But confronting Hoosier veterans right now, the place that they need the most help or the most support, or, you know, to reframe it ever so slightly, to say, you know, how do we square the debt, basically, with them? Because obviously we owe them for doing something.
Yes, we do. And we need to keep our promises to them.
Yeah.
I would certainly say jobs. And jobs are really a big part of you know, what we need to deal with to make sure that we are helping our veterans with employment and opportunities for them when they come home. Of course, navigating, you know, that health care system and certainly dealing with homeless population that we face. It's certainly a national problem, not just here in the state of Indiana, but we certainly have a very big problem dealing with homelessness, which has a lot to do with that unemployment issue and the health care needs that veterans face. And it there's, you know, those are just three pretty big ones dealing with this veterans we have here in the state of Indiana.
So largely it sounds like economic insecurity issues.
Yes.
The fact that, Matt, you're jumping in here.
Yeah.
Is that the thing, you know, when you're dealing with vets, regardless of gender issues, is that the thing you have to confront most often?
It absolutely is. One reason, you know, from personal experiences, once you get out of the military, you know, you were so secure in that 4 years or 20 years or 30 years even with, you know, what you were going to do in life. That was your job. That was your niche. And once you get out of that, you don't really have a path to take. So it's and that becomes up to the veteran. You know, they have to determine what path they want to take. And if they're struggling with doing that, you know, that's where they kind of, you know, it's not digging themselves a hole. It's just making sure they don't, you know, fall into a hole. So it's, you know, consistently making good decisions, whether it be, you know, education. You know, the GI Bill these days is, you know, it's outstanding. And, you know, so if you take that route, great. And just finding, you know, a job that, you know, suits you. And I've heard, you know, some of my friends say, you know, I've had such a hard time, you know, after we got out of the Marine Corps, finding a job that I could be as prideful as I was doing that than I was in the Marine Corps. And, you know, I'm not going to say that's a thought for everybody. But, you know, it's definitely talked about.
Well, that's a different kind of element. In addition to the economic insecurity, it sounds like there's almost a spiritual component here, a crisis of meaning, that the most important work I will do in my life, I've done already. And, you know, this is just the aftermath,
right,
to some degree.
And that's what you got to really start talking to the veteran about. You know, you could do something else bigger and better. You know, there's always a way to go up. And they just need to be, you know, informed of that. They need to be, you know, they need to make sure that people are out here to support them. And, you know, that's what all of us are here for, actually. You know, we're here for the support.
We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier veterans, particularly Hoosier women veterans, in anticipation of a conference this weekend at the State Fairgrounds. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Well, let's set aside for the moment the spiritual crisis piece of this and focus on the economic insecurity. Najuma, how is the conference going to help women veterans deal with that issue of economic insecurity?
Well, as John, as a veteran, I was very insecure when I got out of the military, and my first step was to get back to school. So for all the veterans attend this conference, it will be a mind easing to know all the benefits that are out there. They'll at least hear other military women stories of how they succeed and what they can do and what they cannot do in the state of Indiana.
So are the but in that case, you're going to help them negotiate the college or school application process or the training sessions on that?
Yes, we would. We would tell, give them the information on where, what organization to go to or what organization they can talk, people they can talk to.
We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier women's veterans in anticipation of a conference at the State Fairgrounds this weekend. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are conference coordinator Najuma Austin, Representative Carly Macer, Democrat from Indianapolis, and Matt Vincent of the Indiana Veterans Affairs Program Coordinator. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier women veterans in anticipation of the Hoosier Women Veterans Conference at the State Fairgrounds this Saturday. My guests are Najuma Austin, who's the conference coordinator, Representative Carly Macer, a Democrat from Indianapolis, and Matt Vincent, who is the Indiana Veterans Affairs Program Coordinator. Well, we were talking right before this about the whole economic insecurity question. And I guess what I would like to know is, you know, there are already gender disparities in terms of job numbers and, you know, the pay, the compensation women get for equal or comparable work. Is that problem exacerbated by military service, or is it roughly the same as after military service? Representative Macer.
Well, I guess I would like to start off with saying that I think a lot of times what I hear Hoosier women veterans talking about is that there's, you know, a gap there. They a lot of times don't even feel like veterans. It's been such a male.
How so? I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no. How so is sometimes they feel like the service that they have given isn't actually, you know, a veteran service. Like they don't identify themselves as veterans a lot, and that was also very shocking to me, John. And you know, I think so. There's a gap there that I think that we're really working on. But also, I will tell you, I working this year on a bill 1242 discrimination against veterans. I will tell you, we did a lot of research on that, and I was really disappointed and shocked by the discrimination that veterans face. Women, certainly, but men as well. A lot of times, if your service is on that resume that's sent over and you've toured a time or two, I was shocked to learn that people were reluctant to employ veterans due to PTSD, or they may have other issues. And certainly it's just another setback for women veterans as well.
Is that Matt and Juma, you're both veterans, right?
Yes.
Both have served. I mean, have you encountered that kind of discrimination yourselves?
Or? I personally have not. You know, I've been fortunate to obviously get to the position where I'm at, but you know, it just depends on where you go and, you know, what job you're applying for. And, you know, every case is going to be different. You know, just it, like any, you know, one person going to interview for a job and then, you know, somebody else comes right after him, you know, do they qualify? And that bill, 1242, that's a great bill. You know, if that is happening in the workplace, you know, no matter where or when or what company, it's great to have that bill that will support the veteran. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, it's just case to case, and you can't really speak on, you know, I've never experienced it. I'm not sure I know anybody that has, but it's just a great thing to have to fall back on, you know.
Najuma, have you experienced it?
No, John, I've never experienced that. As I said, the first step that I took was to get myself back into college so I can get the job that I really desire. So going through the employment process, I've never encountered any situation where I was discriminated because I was a veteran.
Now, Representative Macer, I also want to pick up on the other part of that, make sure I understand it, that when you said that that women coming out often feel like their service, they don't count as veterans, is that because of the way people perceive them?
Yes.
They think that...
Yes, and I think that it's just... and Najuma might be even better at answering that for me. That's something that we really struggle with. And it's really goes back to our veterans. We have women veterans before, you know, World War II, where a lot of times they feel like that service that they did isn't equal or isn't considered to be a veteran. But I think Najuma probably has more thoughts on that than maybe even I do.
And Najuma, I think that's your cue.
Thanks, John. Yes, yeah. Carly Mesa, she is right. Most of the veterans that I've worked with say that the women, they say that they feel invisible. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunately that they do feel that way. Most time when you say veteran, most people look at men. Mm-hmm. They don't think of women. And we are doing the same thing out there as the men in the military and as the veterans out here. So we want to be considered a veteran.
How do we combat that? I mean, you know, how do you deal, because it sounds like it's a perception issue, and it's a public education challenge, you know, civic education challenge, in that making people aware of the nature of the service.
Yes.
Representative Macer.
John, I think that that's one of the wonderful things about doing this women's conference this weekend, but also why it is so important that the state of Indiana has a Hoosier Women Veterans Coordinator, not to just coordinate care and resources, but advocacy, and make sure that the service women in our state have a voice and that they have the resources that they need, that they have someone there to make sure that specifically is working on their advocacy as well. And how I think that we're going to do that, a lot of times what I hear helping veterans around the state is that they didn't know that this existed or they didn't know about this other resource. So to me, it's making sure that people are aware of the resources, and it is my hope that we are on the right path of educating women about their service and making them feel valued and to know that we are here to help them in any way that we can in the state of Indiana and how much we appreciate the service that they've given to our country.
We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier Women Veterans in anticipation of the Hoosier Women's Veterans Conference. That's a lot of S's in there to get out. This Saturday at the State Fairgrounds, if you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. How much of this, you know, we're talking about this perception issue. I mean, already I think feminists would argue that it's still sort of a male-defined, male-dominated Western culture to begin with. And the military probably is one of the more extreme examples of that, in that certain cultural values, when men raise their voices, they're being assertive. When women do so, I'll keep us out of trouble with the FCC and go with the word difficult instead, that the same sort of behavior is perceived different ways. How much of this is the case that we have to sort of change things for women, but also to some degree have to change the military culture? Representative Macer.
Yes. By 2016, for the first time, women will be open to all military branches. And I know that there's going to be even more changes that will come about, of course, in the future. But certainly, I do believe that there is a culture there I will tell you, I've met a lot of wonderful veterans who are doing it right and who want to make sure that it's a great opportunity for all Americans if they so choose. But I do think that there is a very serious issue that we face with military, you know, sexual assaults. We have an absolutely ungodly issue of dealing with that. It's it's outrageous. One in three women, compared to one in six women that are civilians that deal with,
which is still too high,
which is outrageous. You know, we also deal with a lot of other issues as far as being in the military goes, particularly just learning so much over the past couple of years of homelessness. A lot of times we don't have the same setups for women to help them. Particularly children being involved as well. You know, when you go to local shelters that focus on helping veterans, you know, it's just certainly a different opportunity, especially if you have been sexually assaulted or raped in the military and to be in that environment. There's a lot of work that we need to do to be able to really advocate and care for women veterans when it comes to the issues that they face while they're in service, and most importantly, when they return home from those services.
Najuma, I'm going to ask a difficult question. I'm going to ask it as gently as I can here, and with as much respect because it deserves. But as a female veteran, which branch of the service were you in?
I serve in the Army.
In the Army. Did you feel that your service was valued appropriately all the time while you were there? I mean, I realize you want to talk about the conference and the larger picture, but I think to get people to connect to these issues, it's easier if they hear one person's story.
Well, John, I felt like my service was valued, but when I left the military, I didn't feel the same way. I felt that there was no connection. For me, I felt isolated. There was no one to talk to the way I feel. The abbreviation, the concept, everything was different. I feel like I had to live a different lifestyle. And but it takes time. It takes time to connect back with civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to come together in veteran groups so we can talk to each other and correlate the same stories and feel comfortable.
How do we go about making things better?
I believe that we need to start within the military.
Mm-hmm.
If we change the culture in the military, then everything will flow. And we have to start from the top. If we start from the top and change the culture, then I think everything will just be okay.
Okay. In what ways should I'm going to stay with you for a minute, and then I will get to Matt. But in what ways should we change the culture when we say we should change the culture of the military and start at the top? Specifically, what kinds of changes do you think would be helpful?
Well, I think there are some male veterans or military soldiers feel that women shouldn't serve in the military. They still have that Western thinking that we belong in the kitchen, and it's not so. Women, we volunteer. We served, and I believe that we need to change things for us, for also the future, for my two daughters that who wants to serve in the military. We need to change things so we can at least bring in more veterans and more soldiers and more minorities in the military.
We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier Women Veterans here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Matt, what kind of challenges in terms of administering the needs of veterans within the state? Obviously, these are issues that are being talked about nationally. They're not specific to Indiana, but they include Indiana.
Sure. Well, I just want to say one thing. When I've interviewed Najuma last year for you know, as a work study to come in our office and help out, she was ecstatic at the idea of helping other veterans. And, you know, her and I would sit in her office and, you know, talk about the different places we went to in Iraq. I came from a male-dominated artillery unit, so we never were exposed You know, even when we were in Iraq, you know, we were all, it was all just guys on these bases. So that was exposure to me. And, you know, the different female veterans that I've come across within the past few years, you know, doing veteran services work, you know, they are just, they're just like any other veteran. You know, they're willing to still serve even after they get out. And that's one of the things that impressed me most with Najuma's, you know, her passion to help veterans. And you know, that's what this whole conference is all about. It's about, you know, giving back, you know, what we can do in our unique situations and, you know, our trials and tribulations, how we can pass that information forward to, you know, all veterans.
Is it, although it sounds like there needs to be at least some change.
Sure.
Within the military culture, what role do veterans have in that, in shaping the, you know, because the two of you, obviously, because of your shared conversations and the sharing of your experiences, have a wisdom that's probably not available to the 18-year-old recruit who is just entering right now. Is that something, a role veterans could have playing and saying, look?
That's... Maybe in our positions, I don't know if, you know, we could do anything, but, you know, it's just outreach. It's, you know, getting the word out. It's networking. It's talking to people that, you know, who knows that who you're talking to, you know, just as long as it's being talked about, as long as it's an issue, you know, I think that's really the best, you know, veterans can get. You know, it's hard to get inside the inner military workings, you know, once you're out. So it's just, you know, we could do the best we can and just get the word out that, you know, this is what needs to happen.
Should the military, Representative Mason, do you think the military should open itself up to these veterans' voices a little more than it does?
Oh, I definitely do. I think they should definitely listen to the voices of the veterans who have served in the experience that they have. But I will tell you, John, it's not just about words. It needs to be about action. I want to see people doing things, and not just words. And
what sorts of things would you like to see them
do? Well, I'd like their words and actions to match. Okay. So when they say that they're going to work and they're going to make changes for sexual assaults in the military and issues that women face, I want to actually see it being done. It just seems like over and over what I see, what I read, the homework that I do, it just seems like it's keep getting off the hook. So it's not solving the problem, which affects morale as well. So I'd like to see more action from the military, from the inside, and listen to the advocates for the outside to help and support them.
Dealing with that. Najuma, at the conference, you'd mentioned, obviously, that sexual violence is going to be one of the things you deal with. What are you going to tell the women veterans who, you know, what sort of resources are you going to offer them at that conference?
So at the conference, we have someone by the name of Travis Field that will be providing information on suicide prevention, because we know after military sexual trauma, it always leads to something else, which is suicide or some other type of entity. So we are providing information on crisis intervention, so who they can call and who they can contact in their region. And also we are telling them how to still protect themselves as a veteran.
Is this, I mean, I would think, and obviously I'm a male, so, you know, I would not have that experience. But I would think, obviously, that a sexual assault in itself is a traumatic experience. But, you know, the whole culture of the military where you're trained to depend upon each other, to think of each other as comrades in arms, just adds to the sense of betrayal.
Yeah.
Is that, Najuma, is that a fair assessment, would you say, or...?
Yeah, I've never been in a sexual military situation, but there is all women out there that feel betrayed, and they're looking for that support. They still are looking for that apology from the military.
There's a loss of trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in any military unit, it's great to be cohesive, and you know, a lot of times it starts with leadership, and you know. Once you lose that trust after a situation like that, it's hard to get it back. And then, that's where you come out from the military with a bad, a bad taste in your mouth.
We are talking about the upcoming Hoosier Women Veterans Conference this Saturday at the State Fairgrounds. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about the challenges facing Hoosier women veterans in anticipation of an Indiana Women Veterans Conference this Saturday at the State Fairgrounds. My guests are Najuma Austin, who's the conference coordinator, and Matt Vincent, who is with the Indiana Veterans Affairs. He's the program coordinator there. We had been joined by Representative Carly Macer, Democrat from Indianapolis, who has to go work for Organization Day today, or Corrections Day, excuse me. And we've been remiss here, Najuma. We probably, if people would like to attend this conference, is there a URL, a phone number, contact information where they can call? Do they have to register ahead of time, or can they just show up on Saturday?
Well, John, they don't have to register. Right now they can come to the conference. We also have a registration table there, and it's free. It is free for all veteran women. We also have continental breakfast, which is free, and lunch is provided.
So they can come for the, from it, and it runs from 8 to 3:30. Probably ought to tell people again where it is. I know it's at the State Fairgrounds, but the State Fairgrounds is a big place.
So this is at the State Fairgrounds, and it's at the Farm Bureau Building. It's 1202 East 38th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 4206. And this is for the state. It's not an Indianapolis conference. It's the State Women's Veteran Conference.
Okay, and how many people, Matt, how many people do you think will show up for this?
We've been hearing a lot of good talk about the women's conference, and there'll be some awesome guests there. So I'm really hoping that we, see maybe a couple hundred. I don't know. Doing these type of events, it just takes persistence, and Najuma's been very persistent with it, and we're hoping for a great turnout. And like she said, this is open to the entire state, and we want everybody, from all across the state to come down.
How often do you do this, these kinds of conferences, Najuma?
Well, this is my first conference with Indiana, but I know that for the past years it has been at least two or three conferences. And I also want to remind guests that we have four wonderful ladies that are speaking. We have Representative Carly Mesa. We have Lieutenant General Carol Mother. We have Dr. Betty Mosley-Brown that's coming from Washington, D.C., and we also have First Lady Karen Pence that will be attending.
So you've got some star power, obviously, for this conference. What do you hope, and each of you I'm going to ask, what do you hope that female veterans will take away from this? I mean, if they come, what, in terms of holding this, what will cause you to say this was a success? I'll start with you, Najuma.
Well, I'm hoping that this conference bring the resources to the women veterans, that they will be able to know where to go and who to contact after this, after the conference.
I know, going to different conferences over the years, you come back or, while you're there, you come or talk about what is going on at the time, or if you're talking about it afterwards and, talking to the other ladies, then it's been a successful event. If there's good enough information and, speakers, in which there are, people will be talking about it at the time and after. And I believe that really shows, how successful the event was, and the information that was provided was, worth it.
We are talking about the challenges confronting Hoosier Women's Veterans in anticipation of a conference for Hoosier Women Veterans at the State Fairgrounds this Saturday. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, what is the hardest issue to resolve for Hoosier Women Veterans. I mean, the one that creates the most sort of administrative procedural challenges. Matt, I'll start with you on that one as the program coordinator, I would think.
All right. Well, I think, you know, Carly kind of touched on it earlier, and Najuma did as well. It's, you know, the it's how you are once you get out, you know. Like I alluded to it earlier, the path that you take, you know, it really kind of controls where you're going to be. And if you are kind of lost, then, you know, like Najuma said, she didn't really feel like she was a veteran at, you know, at a certain point after her military career. And if you can't feel that way, then, you know, you kind of look at it like, why did I do that? You know, I just wanted to serve my country as well. And as long as you can feel that satisfaction and, you know, have the other people look at you and say, thank you for your service, I appreciate, you know, what you did. It's not only that, but it's just a whole list of things that, you know, we need women veterans to, you know, stand up and, you know, really empower, you know, other women veterans around the state. So, you know, they can feel that satisfaction. They can feel that, you know, gratefulness of the Americans.
Najuma, is that, I mean, I know I already asked the question about what you, but part of what I'm hearing is that that you don't want them to feel isolated. You want them to understand you're not alone here.
Yes, we want all veterans, not only women, but all veteran women know that they should not be alone. First, to start the procedure is that any organization, nonprofit or profit organization, you have to have your paperwork. All veterans will know that you have to have your DD-214 to start any process.
Probably ought to explain what those are for people who haven't served.
So your DD-214 is all the information, your name, your birth date, where have you served, and your separation date. So they have to have this in order to get any procedure started. We want all veteran women to know that Indiana do care for veterans. We do care. There is someone advocating, but we have to have the veterans, the nonprofit organization, and the profit organization come together so we can work and make it better.
We are talking about the challenges confronting female Hoosier female veterans here on No Limits in anticipation of a conference coming up this weekend at the State Fairgrounds. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I want to thank everyone on the panel for their efforts and being, you know, being a veteran, and I appreciate it. My question is, I'm a non-veteran. If I'm a non-veteran and say I'm in a store and I'm standing in line and I strike up a conversation with someone who is a veteran and then they tell me that they are, what is something that I might possibly say to them that would be hurtful or insulting that I might not have any idea that what I've said hurt them? But because I'm not a veteran, I didn't know that. I didn't realize what I did.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Gary. We'll try to get you an answer.
That's a good question, okay. Gary. And thank you again for your call. You know, once you strike up a conversation like that, you know, it's usually nice to say, you know, thank you for your service. And a lot of veterans don't, you know, upon first conversation, you know, they don't want to be really grilled. I know, you know, after the first time I came back, a lot of questions, especially from my friends at the time, and, you know, even some of my family members was, did you kill anyone? I mean, that's not something you ask somebody that just came back from war. So I would stay away from questions like that, or, you know, were you scared? Obviously, it's war. You're going to be scared. So, you know, just kind of, you know, if you're really thinking about it, you know, just kind of say, well, thank you for your service. You know, maybe where did you serve? And, you know, kind of stick it pretty basic. And, you know, they'll tell you more if they're comfortable.
Is there a sense, I mean, what I'm picking up on that, too, is that if there's a theme that's kind of run through this conversation, is that to some degree there's this perception that if you've served in the military, that somehow dehumanizes you, that, you know, killing someone or being scared to death for most of us would be very traumatic experiences, but we sort of assume because you were in the military they'd be less traumatic, that you lose some sense of your humanity because you did that, when in fact, you know, the opposite is true. Either one of you.
Well, I don't think that's a false perception, honestly. You know, and just because you went to war and you know, you probably seen more things than the average person, you are still a person too. And, you know, it does, you know, for other people, you know, for outsiders looking in, they kind of do possibly dehumanize a veteran, you know, if they've served. And you know, that's not fair. You know, going into an interview saying that, you know, you had a few tours to combat, you know, that should not make your employer look at you any differently. You went above and beyond what the person, you know, next to you did. So, I think that should be looked at as a gratefulness rather than, you know, a dehumanizing another human.
And it's human. I mean, it, in some ways, it almost sounds like a violation of person's privacy too, or you know, in that most of us, when you first meet someone, would not walk up as a conversation starter and say, please tell me about some of the worst moments of your life. You know, let's start our relationship on that basis. Tell me about the things that you were most scared of or whatever. But there is this idea that maybe, you know, if you're a veteran or you've served in the military, that's somehow appropriate.
Right. My best advice for Gary is say thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. And if the veteran feel like volunteering and saying what they have done is okay. But remember that not all veterans have served in combat situations. Mm-hmm. And the ones, you cannot pick out a veteran that have served in combat. So you have to be very sensitive to the information, that because you might bring up some traumatic events in their life. So you have to be careful of what you say and how you react around the veteran.
What do veterans say to each other? You know, like now the two, Matt, at what point did you leave the service?
I left in June of 2008. So I've been out for 6 years.
6 years. Najuma?
I left in March 31st, 2008.
Okay, so you've both been out for about 6 years. You have some, yes, obviously, experience. You can call me John. We're not in the military now, Matt. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. So we're on you're on the other side of that experience, you know, and have gotten through the kind of reentry stuff.
Right.
How do you respond to new veterans? I mean, to people who are just leaving the service?
I mean, you know, we get people coming in our office a lot, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, they're still that ball of energy that they were, yeah, you know, once they were in. And they really have to, you know, at that point, you know, that's when the adaptation period needs to start. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to, I wouldn't say rid your mind of anything in the military by any means, but, you know, to adapt to, you know, you're a civilian now, and everybody else around you is civilians. Then, you know, it's for a lot of people, it's very hard, and it definitely took me a few years. And, you know, I still, you know, have some of the impatience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's what do you want to do, and how can we help you? And, you know, a lot of people are very receptive to that, you know, especially the younger generation. And, you know, once they're on that path for success, it's hard to get them off it. So,
Najuma, do you, you know, particularly, you said earlier that when you got out, you felt like your service hadn't been entirely valued after you left. Do you share that with other, you know, recent female veterans who might be feeling a little bit lost themselves upon leaving the service?
No, John, I've never. Actually, this is the first time I've ever shared that.
Well, thank you very much for doing that.
I think it's very difficult to say something like that to another veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to feel uncomfortable, especially if the veteran is very patriotic. You don't want to bring up anything to demean anyone or even the military service, which I'm very thankful for the military. You know, I'm thankful for serving my country. I'm thankful for being in combat. But all I want to say is that if any other veteran woman is feeling isolated or in any traumatic incident, there is someone out there. There is some organizations that are out there. We have the VA hospital. You can also call the Indiana State Department. You can also call my number, which I will personally give to you if you're in that situation.
If you feel like giving the number right now, if there is some woman out there who's thinking, yeah, I would like to talk to you. I mean, do you feel comfortable giving your office number?
Oh, sure, John. They can actually, this is my personal number. Any woman, veteran woman out there in any situation, my number is 910-280-6124. We have advocates out there, and I will personally advocate on behalf of you.
And Matt, if people want to get in touch with the state veterans.
Yes.
Affairs, how should they go about doing that if they have questions or concerns?
If they have questions, they can call our number directly at 317-232-3910. And you had mentioned something earlier, John, about a website.
Yeah.
Actually, the program for the Hoosier Women Veterans Conference is right on our homepage, as well as a whole list of our services and, you know, even directions how to
how to get there.
Link up. Yeah. And, yes. And that website is www.in.gov/DVA. DVA is in Department of Veteran Affairs. And, you know, we have all of our state resources. You know, we've got employment. We've got over 100 veteran opportunity partners of ours, which are companies that signed up on our website to employ veterans.
Najuma, real quickly, we've got just a few seconds left. Tell people again about the conference, where they go. It's this Saturday, right, starting at?
So this it's starting at 8 a.m., and you can register at the conference. You don't have to pre-register. You could come straight to the conference and register. It's at the Fambrue Building, and that's 1202 East 38th Street in Indianapolis. And it's a wonderful event. We have many resources for veterans, and you can also bring your veteran partner if you feel like.
Your veteran partner, you mean your husband or significant other or whatever?
Right, John. You
so can, it's is it family? Can you bring your children as well?
You can also bring your children.
That might be useful. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation,
yeah,
and I would like to thank both of you, but Najuma particularly, I'd like to thank you for sharing your story and speaking so honestly with us. I really do appreciate that. We have been talking about the upcoming Hoosier Women Veterans Conference that will take place at the State Fairgrounds this Saturday. My guests have been Najuma Austin, who is the conference coordinator, Representative Carly Macer, a Democrat from Indianapolis, and Matt Vincent, who is the Indiana Veterans Affairs Program Coordinator. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producer, Cedric Freeman, and board engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.